Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? I had a little, sorry, I'm a few minutes late. I had a little roadside situation I had to take care of right away before this morning. But I'm here now, and let's open with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. What a beautiful day it was. And thank you, Lord, for all the things you do for us every day. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. And it was great to see everybody yesterday that I joined the memorial service. What a great service that was. Just a little quick announcement. Sometime today I'll have some videos up on the website that of the service yesterday. It'll be in like three parts. One will be just the review of the photos, and then the other two will be split between the actual service and the time prior to that, where they everybody was giving their condolences to each other and pass and reviewing Pasta. But for today, we're going to continue with our Journeys of Paul. And I said this series is more not so much about what he taught necessarily. We've all heard lots and lots of sermons on that, but more about his travels and the places he went and the people he met. And so today, as we left off yesterday, he was in Damascus. He had been given the light, as so to say, that he now is a follower of Christ, and that he understood after his little Damascus Road enlightenment. And he's in Damascus at the moment, and in Acts 20 is where we left off, and straightaway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And it's interesting to note that the first place he wanted to go was back to synagogues. We'll continue on. At this point, he is going to head into Arabia, and figure out where I was at here. Sorry. Give me a second. Trying to remember where my train of thought was at when I was writing this. Anyways, while he was at Arabia, I guess yeah, he had to recover from his period of time there. So I'll just read a few verses here in Acts of that period of time he was in Damascus. But all that heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests?" Just a review of his original intent for going out to Damascus was to try to find Christians. And kind of ironic that now he's going to be probably one of the ones that's going to be chased rather than chasing. And on to verse 22, "But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ." I got the impression that during this portion that what we're leading up to is him leaving for Arabia. And I think he started to do his preaching in the Jews of that area. We're getting a little upset with him because he started to preach a different story than they understood. And so, just like we found in Jerusalem with some of the early apostles, the Jews weren't very receptive of the message of Christ. And move on to 23. "And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him." And so they weren't liking the message. It was going against their beliefs. So they went on to, and this is a famous story we might remember in Sunday school, where Again, he's still called Saul at this point. But their lying await was known as Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. In other words, they were watching around Damascus to try to catch him and actually kill him. And this is the famous scene where they load him out of the basket. And we see that in verse 25 here. And the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. It says the disciples here. I would assume that that is probably actually people who did believe his message there in Damascus and were helping him escape. And so we'll leave at this point. At this point, he's now escaping from Damascus, and he's no longer welcome there. So at this point, we're going to go into Galatians 1:11. This is where we pick up the story of him going into Arabia. "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of a man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals and mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." I want to make note of that, and profited in the Jews' religion. I think this was his main job at the time. We knew he was a Pharisee, and that this is probably the way he made his living, pretty much, is working for the temple. Go on here. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathens, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem, to which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned." He's going to come back again to Damascus later, but it's going to be about a 3-year gap from when he left from Damascus. And we'll see this in verse, we'll see this in a little bit. But I want to kind of reflect him going into Arabia a little bit. And I did a little research on that and found it interesting that Arabia during that time frame was actually kind of west of Damascus. But and it was a kingdom known as the Nabataean Kingdom. And it was run by a king. Oh, let me find my notes here. Oh, it's coming up in a verse. Oh, and Aretaeus the IV. And basically, he had control of the area from Damascus, pretty much all of Jordan today, down, going in, even into Saudi Arabia, hence where Saudi Arabia got its name somewhat, and all the way down into Medina, and then south of Jerusalem, he also controlled the area going to the Mediterranean. And I was thought to maybe get a map, but maybe kind of envision that. Maybe I'll get a map for tomorrow and show you. But that, so I got a hint here in a few verses coming up that the area he actually went is one we all know quite well. And I'm going to 2 Corinthians. And this is where we talk about this king, Aretaeus. In Damascus, the governor under Aretaeus, the king, kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, Darius, to apprehend me. And this is a hint that I mentioned before that he was, they wanted to kill him in Damascus. And so this king, the person in charge in Damascus, this king was the ruler of, and that person, actually the king himself, was down in Petra, which we've all heard. That was the capital city of that area. This is be about 37 AD. And this is where we indicate where, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. So there in 2 Corinthians is where he mentions that he was that he had to escape out of Damascus. And it sounds like that governor, the governor under that king, had it in for him. And I'm thinking it's because of him preaching the gospel. It doesn't say for sure, but I found an interesting correlation that in Galatians in 4:25 it says, "For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with the children." Now, the part of this verse I wanted to point out was the fact that he mentions Arabia and he mentions Mount Sinai. And I caught on to this, and there's a few commentaries I read that actually think that Paul went to, when he went to Arabia, actually went to Mount Sinai, which current archaeological digs have determined that the real Mount Sinai is actually in Medina, where Moses was, and where he worshiped the Lord, and where he got his instructions from. Excuse me. And I found it kind of interesting that it looks like Paul may have gone to the same place or the same general area. The other thing I want to bring up about this general area is that it's, even to today, it's a major trade route. It used to be back then for a lot of the trade coming out of Babylon to Damascus and down towards Medina, going all the way to the southern tip of Saudi Arabia. There was something down there, I can't remember what it was, that was in high demand. So it was produced there and was sent all over the known world at that time. So the way it got around was by the Bedouins. Was a class of people who were, and by the way, the word Arabia actually means nomad, or wanderer. And so the Bedouins is a group of people that are still there today, as a matter of fact, that are known as like the tent people. They travel, they don't really reside in any one place, and they are mostly herders and cattle people. And I found it interesting, if you remember back, we had discussed it before, that he mentions in another verse that he was a tent maker. And this is mentioned in, let me get down, I'll get to that in a minute. But I found it interesting that, one more verse here. A little out of order here. One second. I thought I put this verse in here, but I guess I didn't. It's Acts 18:3. Where he mentions that, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. That's where he makes mention that he was, he had the craft of being a tent maker. And I found that rather interesting that the one thing, as I mentioned before in that other verse, that he mentioned that he was employed by the temple. Well, since his conversion, he was no longer employed by the temple. They were out to kill him. So he had to find a new occupation. And my thought is, based on the fact that the Bedouins were in that general area, that I'm thinking that he kind of latched onto them during that three-year period. And it's a little bit of speculation on my part, but and I think that may be where he learned tent making. Because he needed a new craft. He needed to be able to support himself for those 3 years that he was out in Arabia. And that's just my thoughts, but I can see a little bit of evidence in the scripture that kind of indicates that. I found that kind of interesting. So back to where we were, and so in Galatians. So to continue on, so he went on to say that in Galatians 1:17, we'll go back to that. I'll read it again. "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." And just indicated those during that 3 years is when I believe that, that Jesus Christ revealed to him, similar to what John did, you know, in on Patmos, And he probably did it down in Mount Sinai, from some indications. Seems like that seems to be where God likes to give his testimony to, at least back then, to people to go on a mission for him, particularly if it's something new. And we all know that the dispensation changed at this point to the dispensation of grace. And so I think that's probably where Paul may have gotten his education, was during meditation down in the area of Mount Sinai. And he probably learned tent making to support himself. So I found that kind of interesting. And then again, after he left Arabia, he went back to Damascus. And in verse 18 is when it indicates that then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So it was at this point that the 3 years was up and he had finished his education. And he went back to, and he ended up going to Jerusalem to see Peter. And we'll pick up there when we get done. But that's his journey into Arabia. And I found that kind of interesting that he may have been, that's maybe also where he learned the tent making. Because the one thing I noticed that if you look at his early history, his father was a Pharisee. He was sent to a school in Jerusalem as an early, as a young person, probably in his teens, to learn to be a Jewish teacher, a Pharisee. So I don't see where he learned tent making anywhere in there. So I just found that kind of interesting. So I'll end with a word of prayer, and thanks for joining us today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the reward and for the teachings that you're showing us today. That kind of interesting, this ministry of Paul, and looking forward to further revelation as we proceed through his journeys. Thank you, Father, for this day, and may you bless everyone and keep them safe. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Have a great day.